I may, we're still in the mode of masks and Zoom and remote participation for the month of April. So if I could go through and do roll calls, we have that clearly defined. President Wilburn?
Here.
Vice President Hickman?
Present.
Director Starr?
Here.
Director Moreland?
Here.
Director Edwards?
Here.
Information System Manager Martinez?
Here.
Environmental Health and Safety Manager Perrin?
Here.
Finance Manager Wong?
Here.
Power Division Manager Leon?
Here.
General Manager Mosley? Here. Can I get a list of public participation, starting with South Heather staff?
John Shipman and Kristen McKillop.
John Shipman and Kristen McKillop. Okay, now how about public participants?
We have Mr. Hasty, who is online, who has a presentation, and two anonymous.
Okay. And Council Cooper?
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right.
Going to pledge.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
What's that?
Did you have something before we do minutes?
No, I was just going to stand here so I could write on the minutes in case you had any questions.
Okay. So let's do approval of minutes. Any questions about the minutes? Questions from the audience? None here. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Five ayes. All right. Let's go into checks and warrants, Steve.
Good afternoon, board members. This report will work through real quickly. Call your attention to a couple of items. This month, checks paid in the month of March, there are a number that went to our construction projects of the new raw water line going from the Bangor treatment plant to the Avocado area. That is project 2020-0200. And then we also have a number of expenses which were related to the domestic water project line on Foothill Boulevard, that was potable water there. The project code on that, 2020-0198, so you'll see that occurring periodically throughout this this list of checks. Let's see, we do have just a couple that are a little bit different. So let me go to page 2 of 5, near the middle of the page, check number 59785 is a little bit larger than a normal payment to AT&T Mobility. I've got it listed as cell phone and tablet service, but maybe Art, you are prepared to expand on that a little bit?
I am. We have been looking for methods to maintain our requirements for communications outside of our contracts. We've settled on a satellite phone for emergency only communications, and that's why you'll see that was that expense was larger than normal.
Thank you. Everybody have a satellite phone, all the employees, or is it just?
That's just one.
That's just one phone for those field locations.
Hey, Art, in the last month or so, you guys got a lot of scams coming through your phones?
Yes.
Yeah. Monday, I had to unplug our phone one after another. Oh, this is PG&E. We're going to cut off your electricity if you don't pay the bill. So I picked the phone up. Nice scam you got going. Then they hung up after I cussed them a little. The boy is alive.
Yeah. On the next page, page 3 of 5, again near the middle, check number 59817 was to Bayshore Safety and Industrial Supplies, some oil sorbent booms. These are purchased by from the power division, on the power division side. Something a little different than Dan.
Oh, sure. So when we are involved in a powerhouse outage and we had a unit shut down, the tail water, the after bay water, that's usually a small reservoir, we install temporarily. These are about a foot diameter, 10 to 15 foot long absorbent, buoyant, absorb type things that are go around the perimeter of the outlet of the powerhouse, so in case any slight little material were to escape the powerhouse, they are absorbed and captured and trapped inside these booms.
Very good, and then maybe even related to that, a couple checks down, 59819 was the Big Valley Divers.
Oh, yes, right. So Fort Sound Powerhouse, again, the after bay, which is the body of water vicinity, immediately downstream, right against the powerhouse building, there are vertical gates that are called stop log gates, and so there's been an accumulation of cobble rock. So we sent divers down to inspect, but also to, and during the outage, the last annual outage that we had, needed divers to put some plant-like material around the gates, stop log gates, to seal them to prevent entry of water into the turbine when we're doing the inspections. So it was twofold, really, to the task. One, again, to do an inspection of the concrete structure immediately outside the powerhouse. And number two, to seal off the gates to prevent water entry during the outage.
Thank you. And then, Dan, on the next page, Dan wanted to mention innovative hydrology, payment to innovative hydrology. Right at the top, check number 59841.
Right. Switching to that. I just was going to check with Art on that one, but thank you, Art.
Yeah, no problem. Innovative Hydrology is the company that assists us with the tracking of our water diversions. Our sites, they've been helping maintain some of the software and reporting portals for us. So we do have annual licenses with them.
Thank you, Lord. We did two payments, our last two payments of the month to U.S. Bank and then the Signature Financial. Those are big dollars that went out. Those are our debt service payments made for obligations, 2016 certificates of participation for the Miners Ranch Treatment Plant Improvement and Expansion Program. And then the Signature Financial was a $900,000 semi-annual payment scheduled for principal and interest, pay a short-term loan that we incurred to complete construction of the Lost Creek Dam project. Did check with Wraith, actually. Would you like to comment on any of the checks?
I'll just highlight one on that same page, 405, even though it has the project code identified. It's check number 59863. You'll see from Cresco Equipment Rentals, that's a loader and hydraulic breaker rental. So on the community line, running that domestic line, we continue to run in. You heard me mention this in previous months. Blue diorite, very tough digging. So we had the hydro hammer large sections. So that project took a fair amount of work. And in fact, on our worst day, we only accomplished 40 feet in an 8-hour day.
Wow.
And I'll update you on the status of that project here and did the staff report. But that's what that rental was for. So that was an unplanned expense. We thought we could accomplish the work with internal equipment. We're not able to. Thank you.
No other comments. No
other comments?
All right.
Any questions, board members?
Lowest legal fees we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, they were pretty evenly distributed between the closed session items you see in your agenda, so not one, no one stood out more than the other. It's kind of an equal distribution.
Approval of expenditures for the month of March 2021 in the amount of $2,886,482.38 and authorize the transfer of $1.5 million from the TCB General Fund to the TCB Accounts Payable and Payroll Fund for the payment of regular operating expenses.
And first,
I'll second that, or John will.
Okay, Amy, you might know. Okay, we got to go with John second. Any comments from the public? No comments here?
Nothing received out of
214. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Five ayes. All right. Move on to tab three, information item. I believe we have a presentation.
Yes, thank you. So we have this information item. I moved it up here to the top, so we have a gentleman on the line. For sake of his time, I moved it up here a little bit, so that's why we're out of sequence. This is in regards to our Aqua JPIA Rate Stabilization Fund Report. So I believe we have Mr. Hasty online, who is going to present.
I'm here.
And present great. To the board. Thank you, sir. It's all yours.
Great. Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman and directors. I just want to say that as an Aqua JPIA Executive Director, I'm really thankful that you're members of our organization, and I think that it's always fun to be able to come back and let you know that we're bringing money back. This time, your refund amount was $107,722.82, so a good check to come home. You know, refunds are based on the performance of prior policy years in the liability projects and workers' compensation programs. Each policy year of each program are respectively adjusted in the revenues received from the members and equal to the cost incurred. We've had lower costs, and in fact, for this cycle, approximately $6.2 million is going to be refunded to nearly 200 members. And the only reason we get to do that is because your employees' hard work and commitment to safety of your staff. That's what makes these happen. I just want to say thank you for, you've had 10 of your staff members attend JPIA offered courses. You've had 36 registered users in our Target Solutions Activities Report. It's your hard work and the example of your board that keeps your people safe. And I just wanted to just stop by and say thank you so much and glad that you're members and happy that we continue to work with you at Aqua JPIA. I can tell you that, we didn't go into Aqua JPIA at my own agency until much later after we got out of the power purchase agreement, and it saved us a ton of money, and it's been a great organization to be with. So that's all. I just wanted to say thank you and get you a check. And I also want to say I'm envious. We have not yet had an in-person board meeting. Pretty great to see people actually having a board meeting, so it's terrific. I look forward to that day. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have any questions or comments for Mr. Hasty?
No, it's just a nice big check. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's the efforts of these folks behind me and all of our employees, hey, obviously.
Thanks for all your hard work, and you guys be safe. We'll get through it.
All right, will do.
Thank you, sir.
Go back into staff reports. Steve, you can come back up here.
And I am pleased to report we did get that check, and it's been deposited in the bank, and it's all taken care of. So thank you for that, man. My report's attached, or is under tab four, I guess. Comment, it was just a month ago, or our last board meeting, that the MOUs for most of the employees were, or the remaining employees were completed, and all the retroactive pay going back to January 1st of this year, and then the new pay rates have been calculated and actually distributed, and so we're all up to speed on current employee pay pay adjustments as necessary. Appreciate Sherry's efforts and all of that on that assignment, and appreciate getting that done sooner rather than later. We did get some grant payments in. Just wanted to comment on that. Earlier this year, we got some final payments on our Miners Ranch Canal Road Repair Project, which completed a while back now, but the fight got some final payments that came in, and you'll see that in the financial reports. What you will not see, but we received the money just in the last 10 days or so, money on the Community Power Resiliency Grant, a $42,000 $500 payment that came in for the Sunset Communication Site backup generator. And so you'll see those dollars in the financial report next month, but when we report that those came through. I've also already mentioned that this month in March, at the end of March, we made significant debt service payments. So we're staying right on schedule with those. Pleased to report that we're doing some cross training in the finance division team on the first floor here. For me personally, this is just exciting. We've been trying to get to this. The intent has been there, but the team has actually picked up on it and sharing their knowledge one with another. So I think that's just will be valuable for the agency going forward. Mm-hmm. We've had some preliminary interest and discussions, very preliminary at this point, with City of Oroville on CDBG, Community Development Block Grant, perhaps some assistance being able to help folks with utility bills as part of this whole COVID reconciliation or resolve. So I'll keep posted on that activity, and then we are in the middle of audit procedures right now. No good news. There's just not a whole lot of good news here on finances itself. Page one of the numbers and graphs and things. March or the 2021 bar is the red bar. January, February, March, we have actuals that have been received. The blue bar is the average for the history of our project. And you can see we're our 3 months this year have all been below average. March was well below average. It's better than last year in all 3 months cases, but still well below average. April will be the same from everything I'm hearing from Dan, that this will be well below average, probably our lowest April generation power generation revenues in our history anyway. So this is a difficult, it's looking to be a difficult year financially here. The next page, you can see where we stand. January, February, and March receipts with the April. The line will probably be near the bottom of the other two, which is looks like 2017, 2018 numbers. So that's not pretty at all. Going on to page three, we actually have numbers here. JFOF, for Joint Facilities Operating Fund, this is the first set of financial reports that you see there. Top line was our power sales for JFOF, which are the three power plants, Forbestown, Woodleaf, and Kelly Ridge. The budget was $15,225,000. If we're anywhere close to the way the progression has started this year, we'll be $3 million short of that. Just commenting on that. Let's see. A little further down on that revenue line, insurance reimbursement, that's where a portion of our money will show up from Aquagen PIA, this payment that just came through to us. A percentage of budget column, this is activity January, February, March, so 3 months out of the 12-month year. So we'll just taking that average, you would be at, a 25% through the fiscal year, through our fiscal year. You can analyze or take a view at how our expenses are coming down. Call your attention to page 4, total operating expenses. So a line near the bottom there, percentage of budget. Our operations were at 19% of our approved operating budget. So that one, we're tracking with the budget, but again, our revenue side is not tracking with the budget. So that's what we'll have to work with in the coming months here. Moving on to the general fund side, which starts on page 8. This is primarily all of our water division activities and the Slide Creek Powerhouse activities. So on page 8, general fund financial report, the top line is domestic water sales, percentage of budget. You can see that we're at 16%. Again, 3 months would equal 25%. But that's actually okay because we're typically a month behind in just getting the bills and seeing getting the bills out and seeing the dollars recorded. So we're tracking just to matching up with the budget just fine on that. Our power revenue line 41305 Slide Creek Powerhouse, which is part of our general fund. The budget there, $1,625,000, that'll come down. It'll be down about $300,000 given our trend so far. Same comment that I noted on the joint facilities activities on page 10, under operating expenses, there are percentage of budget expended so far. This is right in the middle of the page there, page 10. Far right-hand column, 18% is where we stand right now in terms of. So on operating budget expenses, we look to be tracking just fine. Again, but our problem will be on the revenue side there. A little bit further down, non-operating expenses, I've got a line principal, other non-operating expenses. Far right-hand column, 100% expended. That's $615,000. That was our principal obligation on debt service that we paid right on April 1st, and that is an annual payment, so that payment is satisfied for the year on that. We will have an interest payment that we make in October, but the principal is just once a year. We don't have any other comments except that our last pages 13 and 14, my appreciation to Directors Wilburn and Director Hickman for coming this early today, spending their lunch hour, and we've talked about different investment ideas and my practices with regards to cash and investments. They sat through a webinar and we just got educated and had some interesting discussions, and we'll be looking to do some things perhaps differently in the future, and we'll be having those discussions. Passed out to them the our current investment policy, and I would hope to bring that to you next month just for approval, well, for discussion and then approval as well for next month. Answer any questions?
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
All right, Dan, looks like it's your turn. You're going to give us some great news here. Run time, it looks like. Impressively bad.
It was pretty good. Yeah. So, good afternoon, directors, and thanks for your time here today. Over the next few minutes, I'd like to review with you our March 21 Power Division report and start off with here in operations. Just wanted to cover the DWR Bulletin 120 that we follow, and the recent observations for precipitation storage. The northern region here is at 49% of storage, of water storage, and the snowpack is has decreased to 27% of average for April 1. So it's in a few words, you know, what we're experiencing, obviously we all know this, is very dry conditions. This is a dry, watery year condition. And if we look at the precip chart here that I have in the report, look at it later if you want, but I was going to show you mine. We track the rain gauge, which is at Strawberry, upcountry from us, and that gauge currently for the 21 year has picked up 21 inches accumulated of rainfall. This is at 3,500 feet elevation, so there tends to be snow there on occasion, but there hasn't been snow accumulation there. We can see past years, past so-called dry years, the 20 year, 50 inches. The 18 year, which was a little lower, 65 inches, but I haven't seen quite as low a precip condition as we're having currently. So back to the first page on the report here, I'm just going to continue. We do have our South Fork Tunnel open, bringing water into Sly Creek Reservoir. Slate Creek Tunnel is currently closed. The combined storage of our reservoirs is low. We are at 102,000 acre feet. And the second plot here that I have in the report, this one here, you'll see the red lines here, the upper chart, Little Grass Valley, the lower one. You'll see for Sly Creek, the red line. You can see visually here that these are the lowest that our storage has been in 6 years.
Wow.
So, and this is not due to us running the generators too much. Actually, to the contrary, we kept storage through the year change, going from 20 to 21, and we've based on the contract, we haven't, as the chart on the bottom of the first page shows for asset performance, we can see that the red bars for all four generators, the third one, Kelly, looks good, but that's only 23%, and the other powerhouses have been actually producing Forks Down 7%, Woodleaf 3%, Sly like 1 or 2% of the actual electrical output that we sell, which is unfortunate. On the next page, we have our top table there showing the various parameters. The third column, available for generation hours, you can see that Woodleaf, Kelly, and Sly there were 743 hours last month, so we had excellent availability for the units that they were able to run. Forbes Sound has lower hours because we completed our scheduled annual maintenance outage. But the fourth column, generation dispatch at full output hours, is virtually none. So we aren't being dispatched by PG&E to the full potential. Of course, we have a little water year. That's a big issue. ISO pricing has been low to mid $30 for energy. The 21 outlook here, so looking at the last quarter one, and looking at quarter two, to continue with what Steve had mentioned, for April, May, and June, we expect similar low runs on our units. The current agreement that we have, the power purchase agreement with PG&E, has what's called a storage rule curve, which has minimum storage criteria month by month. And for example, for this month, the minimum is 120,000 acre feet. And so when our storage goes below that number, or for any month that number, then we are not run, or we're run minimally just to do the minimum fish flows to do the required, FERC required flows through the project. So what that means is it can be a continuation of these, for the next few months, unless things change drastically, these low revenue months, rough magnitude of $500,000 a month. So moving into the maintenance topic here, again, Woodleaf, Kelly, and Sly powerhouses are fully operational. Of course, so it was Forestown. We completed our outage on the 26th of last month, and we did various things there. The important project that we did was repairing the generator stator insulation. I'll talk about that later. And we also did mechanical alignment of the unit. By unit, I mean the generator coupling shaft and the actual turbine runner. We rebuilt the sump pump, did various electrical testing and other scheduled maintenance. We also had crew that inspected the draft tube, which is the area just upstream of the turbine, and also this pressure reducing valve. These are big pieces of pipe and metal. Other maintenance I'd like to mention here on occasion. Eddie Paul and others perform monthly snow surveys at several locations of country, and this information is then provided to the DWR and the state for actually tracking snowfall throughout and snow content throughout the state. And so we contribute to that, to those, that we could contribute data to those, to those reports that are published on the internet and on DWR's website. We had a crew that did the required inspections on Woodley, Sly, and Kelly powerhouse at Pensox. We actually walked the Pensox, checked them for alignment, any mechanical or physical issues, vegetation, erosion around the footings. We also had crew that went out and did control of vegetation around the Pensox, around our forks down the yard, and other locations. And just did, you know, various inspections and cleaning of intake screens and roadways. We also brought in a crane service to remove debris from the trash racks at Station 2 and Station 8. Station 2 is near the Miners Branch Treatment Plant, and that is the intake to Kelly Powerhouse, the tunnel which runs down to Kelly. And then Station 8 is the inlet to the Miners Branch Canal. These are big trash racks that get full of trees and debris and so forth. Wanted to mention also that PG&E does have some scheduled transmission line outages, which directly impacts us, of course. We have a 60 kV line, rather long outage, 11 days, which will affect the Kelly Powerhouse. It will have to be offline for these 11 days. And then we have another one that PG&E scheduled just very, very recently that will take place in May, which will be a one-day outage, which will affect our upper three powerhouses and have them offline. Under regulatory compliance, I don't have any new updates, just a summary of some projects that we've been working on. The ongoing project, the energy delivery transition projects, these are the various projects that the agency is working on to replace ISO meters, to install telemetry equipment, to upgrade SCADA hardware and software at various sites. And what I'm mentioning here is that we're also replacing power supply and backup power equipment at various sites to harden the site's power system so they are more fault tolerant during possible power shutoffs or power failures at various sites. So we're increasing the resiliency to those unscheduled power outages. So here under Forbestown Powerhouse Generator Stator Installation Repair, the winding on the generator at Forbestown Powerhouse was rewound in either 96 or 7. And there has been some areas on the insulation on the stator, which is the stationary portion of the winding, that we identified needing some repair. So this work was done, and there was an assessment and repairs that were done. And the repairs were really done to help lengthen the life of the investment and to also deal with some immediate insulation issues. But the goal was to manage and lengthen the life of the asset. Lost Creek Dam roadway access and mid-level valve access. So there was gravel road sections adjacent to the dam, and there was kind of a plastic mesh material that was installed to keep the gravel from getting flung around, and the plastic mesh was getting kind of dug up, so that was our crew removed it and installed new gravel to redo the roadbed, the roadway there. And our crews are also fabricating, installing safety steel walkways, ladders, and stairs to allow access to the mid-level outlet valves for maintenance, for operations. And these new structures, as I mentioned here, will provide safe access for the crew to perform work there. Lastly, in the personnel, on the 6th of this month, Dan Shipman, our project engineer, resigned from the agency. And just want to say that we do thank him for his service and wish him the best in his career. That's the highlights of my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, Dan.
Yeah.
On Lost Creek Dam.
Yeah.
Last Friday, me and my wife took a ride and finally got in there to look at that.
Nice.
The work you guys have done is fabulous. I took a whole bunch of pictures if you guys want to see them, but yeah. What a beautiful little lake. First time in my life I went in the mountains and went to a lake without a fishing rod. It was hard.
Well, I'll pass the word along. Thank you.
Those guys really did a good job. It really looked really nice, and all the construction and the trouble we had, it was worth it. It really, really looks great.
Well, thanks for your comments and feedback. Appreciate it. I'll pass it along.
Yeah, tell the guys, hey, it looks great. All the work you did with the new walkways, that's the safety factor, and that'll come in handy.
Great.
Tell them thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dennis. I will.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to water division. We'll start with water treatment operations for the domestic systems. So Miners Ranch Treatment Plant, you can see for the month of March, we produced almost 91 million gallons of treated water. And then the Bangor Treatment Plant, we're about 223,000 gallons. You can see the trend chart below. So overall, we had a peak or a high of about 4 million gallons per day at a Miners Ranch Treatment Plant with a low of 2.37, averaged around 3. We should expect, as this weather warms up, to start to see that trend chart grow and produce and deliver more domestic water as we go into the summer months here. April marked the start of the irrigation season, so I'm happy to say that all of the work that we performed during the off season has really, at least early on, has seemed to have paid off. You can see what the flows are on irrigation. WD6, which is the lower Forbestown ditch area that ultimately feeds out and then drains out in the Bangor area, is flowing at around, it was about 9 at this time. We're hoping 9 CFS. We're hoping to be able to operate this year safely between 7 and 8 cubic feet per second out of that. You heard me mention the previous months, we put a lot of work into working on the ditch system, trying to identify a few of the losses we had last year that had just produced on us through some rock crevices and some things like that. And right now, we're pretty pleased with how that work turned out. We actually, from the start of WD6 down to the final customer on the irrigation ditch, we were able to convey water within 6 days. Last year, that took us 2 months, so it took quite a long time to get there. So hopefully, for those of you directors that have irrigation accounts, you're hearing positive feedback to the start of this season. On the next page, talk about operations and maintenance, give you an idea of locations and the type of work we did during the last month since we last spoke. A number of new services and backflows are installed. If you see roads that are within your district, then you'll know where we've been and what we've been doing. We did go through and flush mains throughout the district as well. Continued to focus on a pump station at the Bangor Treatment Plant to deliver raw water irrigation up to the Avocado Orange Avenue area. I spoke to the ditch maintenance. We applied about 20 days within the month, working days, on that maintenance. Continued on the pipeline and community line, which I'll elaborate on in a moment. We did replace a regulator, which I'll talk to, a couple services, some small pavement work. A few leaks, not too bad. We had three leaks at the time of writing this report. We're at 5 as we're standing here today from the time we created the report to now. So about average within the district this time of the year. And then we did replace a damaged culvert. So this picture you see here, the first one, is a crew replacing an underground regulator. So we have a number of these throughout the district to manage flow through the system as well. This one was pretty aged and needed some repairs. And so this is what the crew is doing, so it gives you an idea of what they're doing underground. And then the community line, which is off of Miners Ranch Road, that then ultimately goes into Wyandotte, Wyandotte Grange, and Foothill Boulevard. I'm happy to report, this is just one small picture here. This happens to be, if you're looking at this picture of the pipe to the right, is the actual Wyandotte Grange. Mm-hmm. So we actually reached our final destination. So as of yesterday, all the domestic pipe is in the ground. We have a riser with a fire hydrant installed there at the corner. So we've also increased fire suppression activities within that location. We will be charging that line and then doing the water quality sampling tests, and then hope to, as early as sometime next week, start connecting meters and backflows to those accounts that are currently eligible to connect. And for the first time in history, they move from the old community line into domestic treated water out of the treatment facility. Yay. So we're finally there. It's taken a whole lot of work, and now I believe the crew, and they talked about the digging we were getting into. It is some rough terrain. Community investment program, so known as Red Hawk Ranch Bangor. So you can see the commentary there. We've got all the controls and pumps and variable frequency drives and everything installed. We pressurized that system and operated it, and it is operating as designed, so we're real pleased with that. The next steps, which will be this Thursday, I think today we had to move a little bit of material out there. We need to do a small road crossing across Avocado with the 6-inch line, a couple 45-degree tees, And that's where there will be an interface. We'll have actually a valve to control flow there. And there'll be an interface that then reduces from 6 inch to 4 inch. And then I'll start running up the road, start connecting all of those services to irrigation. One of the things we'll need to do at that point is the agency, our industrial maintenance tech, will need to meet with all of the folks that have signed up for irrigation out there, because we want to tune and program the PLCs and the variable frequency drives. We want to maximize the system to kind of know by the acreage and crop types and poles, so that we have a very, very tuned system that manages energy consumption but also doesn't pulse or shock that system and delivers good, sound, steady stream of water day or night, or however that system will be operated. So it's no issue. We just want to tune in, calibrate it, if you will, there as we're ready to go.
Ray, those are very nice pictures. I just look at these brass valves.
Yep.
These brass connectors. I mean, that is first class.
Yeah, it's really, these pictures don't even do it justice. And then please ignore the 4x4s in the wood. Since the time I took this picture, that's all fab metal and mounted to the concrete. So it's all full metal infrastructure in there. Roll-up door to be able to gain access and maintain, but it really, really turned out nice.
That is nice.
The electrical PLC and control panels, they're all in the main package treatment plant, closer to the rest of the electronics that then stem over to this outbuilding. The entire outbuilding's metal, metal roof, metal siding, etc. So it's really top-notch. It's built to last. It'll be there 50-plus years or longer, and certainly has the capability for expansion in the future with additional investments, bolt-ons, if you will, to the system. So we're pretty proud of it.
Yeah.
That, again, will also be the first time in history that there's water delivery in that area from an ag component, and it's running well. Questions or comments in terms of the team on distribution or transmission of water projects? All right, I thought I'd mention a few bills of interest each month between what we monitor internally and what we receive from district council. We kind of look through some of the bills, and I highlight what ones might be of interest for you to be aware of. One is Assembly Bill 703. This is Brown Act related, and this is really talking about changes to open meetings, etc., and really kind of a result or reaction, if you will, from the pandemic and the COVID situation and how board meetings are treated. I think there will be modifications likely at some point around the use of Zoom meeting like we're doing today, some other types of teleconferencing, but that is not intended to replace in-person board meetings when possible. And thank you for that, we have tried to make do all the way through this pandemic process by still meeting in person. As directors and staff, we've had to limit staff, we know that. We certainly appreciate it. We believe we are probably close to a point where masks won't be required as long as we maintain distancing.
Yeah.
However, what I'm asking you five directors to be thinking about is as we open back up that venue and public in-person attendance and participation and expanded staff to participate on their content, we may struggle meeting social distance requirements in this room, as you can see. And each of you are 6 foot apart. The rest of us are spread out back here.
Yeah.
That may be a problem. So we're going to have to collectively discuss how we're going to do that. Is that a different venue?
Yeah, well, the problem with the public would be most of us have been vaccinated twice.
Right.
And we don't know about that.
Right. Right.
You can't take a chance.
Well, and that's where the distancing and those types of things come into play. So we will offer potential solutions or options for you as a board, but we need to figure that out, right? As public officials, we have responsibility to allow the public back in, but we also have to manage requirements as an outcome of the pandemic. So somewhere in there is a blend and a balance. We're all smart people. We'll figure that out. But be thinking about that. We're getting close to that point.
Okay.
Thank you. Senate Bill 403, this is around drinking water consolidation. This one's of interest. So this is a bill that really expands the State Water Resource Control Board's authority to order consolidations on water systems that may be at risk or failing to provide adequate supply of safe drinking water. So South Feather does not fall in that category, but we're certainly a district that has a number of neighboring districts, you know, right here in Butte County, et cetera, that if there ever was a situation, that type of bill would potentially allow the state to come in and you know, knock on South Feather's door for options to assist. And then Assembly Bill 1434 is around urban water use objectives. So this continues to be a bit of a challenge. This particular bill is trying to change indoor and residential water use targets down to 48 gallons per capita. If you recall, We've been operating and trying to figure out under conservation the if and whens if we had to comply with the 55 gallons. So those two bills, you know, the Senate Bill 606 and the Assembly Bill 1668 kind of collide with this 1434. So we'll have to continue to watch this closely and see how that plays out.
Yeah, I don't like any part of that.
Right.
48 gallons a day?
Well,
family, who's going to take the shower?
That's right.
Stay clean.
And 55 gallons per day is a challenge for the consumers within this district alone.
The answer,
so the
answer to all this is to fix it.
Yep.
More water storage. You're going the wrong way.
Oh, like that map you have on the wall, Director Morrow?
Yeah.
Okay, good idea. But you're right. I mean, the increase in storage and possibilities.
Well, they should have to conserve. They need more water.
So I thought you might be interested in those. If you want more detailed information, please reach out to me. I'd be happy to provide it. And then finally on page 4, a couple personnel updates. So within Water Division, we did onboard 2 new employees, Jake McCollum and Joe Soria. These backfills were the result of retirements and transfers late last year. Jake's experience comes from Thermalita Water and Sewer District in Western Canal. He's operated as a craftsman, utility worker, and ditch tender. He's performing the role of laborer for us here at South Feather. And Joel Soria came to us from New County Public Works as road maintenance worker. So we're happy to have them. They both started. We're really fully trained. We're just learning South Feather's processes, and we immediately put them to work on our pipeline projects. And we really had to get them in place and ready for this Highway 162 work that's coming this summer that you'll hear more about that I haven't spoken to in the last couple months. That's what I have for staff report today. Any questions or comments specific to Water Division or any general agency information?
As far as the board meetings, Ray, have you explored the concept of air exchange, basically creating an outside space inside by changing the air? Effectively, say you ventilate the room every 3 minutes, now you have an outdoor space.
Let me make sure I understand. So short answer is no on those words. I explored the idea of, you know, allowing the public to maybe participate in the parking lot with speakers and canopies, but you're referring to air exchange inside the room?
Exactly.
So yeah, I have not.
Yeah, so if you change the air enough, the indoor space effectively becomes the outdoor space.
It's
going to be hard in the summertime with the air conditioning situation, but then again, it costs the agency to rent space with bigger spaces when we have the space. It's just a thought.
We could certainly explore that. Would someone staff write that down for me to take a look at? I know I've read some of that around some of the casinos and things within the area may have done some work like that. So we'll take a look at that and see if that's a viable option. And I appreciate that. I'm open to any and all suggestions to make sure that we're doing our part from a public standpoint and also managing safety and compliance.
Yeah, you might get a hold of Dan Fresher. He's the guy that installed these, and he's really good.
Okay. All right,
he can help you.
Yeah, thank you for that input. That's a good suggestion. So I haven't looked at that.
Thank you, Rick.
Yep.
All right, let's move into public comment. How are we looking, Eric? Nothing here.
I have nothing in the email as of 2:51 p.m.
All right, well.
Mark, can you raise hands again? Can you verbalize that?
I already have.
Okay. How would somebody on the phone? Is it star 6? Star 9?
That I don't know.
Well, I'm not seeing them unmute, so.
Alright. Well, let's move on. Business items. Tab 5.
Thank you. Me again. So at last month's board meeting, we had a business item around LAFCO election ballots. So these were LAFCO seeking nominations for regular non-enterprise member and alternate enterprise non-enterprise members. You as a board directed me to go perform some background work, try to vet out the candidates a little bit, and share with you some better information other than maybe just name recognition, to assist with making selections for nomination to submit to LAFCO. So I've done that. So what I will start with on the third page in here are the candidate profiles. And we'll start with the two that are seeking for regular non-enterprise member. And so that's Dave Donnan and Al McGreehan. Those are the two that are seeking nomination consideration for regular non-enterprise. Dave Donnan, he's current board member of Chico Area Recreation Park District. You can see his occupation as a realtor. He has an A degree in general education. He's got a host there. I won't read through all those, but you can see his experiences from coaching, it sounds like youth coaching, all the way into other public sector type participation, United Way, et cetera. So a fair amount of participation over the years, dating all the way back to 1990, all the way up through to current. The person that is competing against him for consideration for the regular non-enterprise is Al McGreehan. Al is current director of Paradise Recreation and Park District. He's actually retired community development planning director for the town of Paradise, so has a fair amount of public sector experience, it looks like. Holds a bachelor's and master's in geography. He has been a board director at Paradise Recreation Park District since 1993, so has been in that capacity quite some time, and then also served as president of the California Association of Recreation and Park Districts. So those are the two gentlemen that are seeking your consideration and selection to submit to LAFCO as a nominee. Does that help you any more from last month or not?
Sure, yeah, a little bit.
I didn't conduct in-person interviews, and I hope you understand.
Yeah, well, thank you for taking the time to do it. Anybody have a preference on any of these two gentlemen?
The only thing I can say, Al's got a lot of water experience. The other guy don't. And that's our biggest problem right now is water.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they're both directors of park and rec districts in the two different locations gives you an idea of their interest and in community involvement anyways. So,
I think all the community involvement from Dave.
Yeah.
Right. Anybody know either of them personally?
No.
And she said that he had a lot of water involvement?
Al, looks like Paradise.
Well, he's Parks and Rec, not PID.
Not PID.
Yeah. So they're both kind of Parks and Rec focused, yeah. Really, from that standpoint.
It really doesn't matter to me. Both of them are probably really good guys and done a lot for our community.
Our involvement, right, with LAFCO would be around those that would be interfacing with us on annexations, municipal service reviews, potential sphere of influence changes. Those are the types of tactical topics we would be interfacing with LAFCO on. So I don't know if that helps you or not.
There's also the proposed Tuscan Water District, which will be an item, a very significant item of LAFCO business this coming year.
Is there any support one way or the other for either one of those guys in regards to that?
I could not find anything on either one of them. Most don't seem to be quick to jump on that topic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So nothing to indicate who would be better for South Bend in our represented district?
I would tell you, from my personal input, if you were asking for, sure, for mine, I would say in terms of LAFCO participation, and when you're talking about, boundaries and lines and markers and annexations, those types of things, it's possibly that some geography background would better apply to LAFCO, but I don't know, right? I'm just not sure.
And Dave being in real estate as a realtor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I probably couldn't go wrong either way. And again, these are essentially volunteer positions like this, but explained, right, council explained, right, last month, so. I didn't think it'd be this tough.
So we want to get this done before we move on to the alternate?
Yeah, let's pick one.
We want to do this.
Well, yeah, because the alternates, they're you know, both groups are selecting. I mean, I can move on to the others. I was just hoping you guys could pick two, we go to the other one and pick someone and go to the next two and pick someone. You can do it however you'd like.
Just go down the row.
Or you can choose not to select at all.
John, who do you like between the two?
I like Dave.
Okay, who do you like?
Al.
Okay. I'll say Dave. Do you like?
I know Bruce Riston.
We're not the Bruce yet, though, John.
Do you like Dave or Al?
Or Dave or Al.
Yeah, we'll only talk about those two right now.
Oh, I see.
Yep.
What do you do?
I should be. I would be remiss to not also comment. You can choose not to make selections, and I can submit that to LAFCO, and that counts as our participation in the voting process.
That would probably be the best, not to participate.
But I guess I should point that out. That was highlighted to me. Yeah. If you guys chose not to select in either category, I can communicate that. That's signed, you know, formal action. I guess that counts as the 21 votes, is what they've told me, that they need.
And I think we ought to be involved.
Right. I just want to make sure that I didn't leave any information out. That was new to me since our last meeting. So we've got Dave, Al, Dave, Director Edwards, Dave or Al?
Dave.
Okay, Director Moreland.
Al.
3-2, Dave it is. All right.
That's a Democratic vote.
Now let me try this again. Okay, now we're discussing alternate enterprise, non-enterprise. So these would be alternates in a situation where others are absent. So you have two. You have Larry Bradley and Bruce Riston. Larry Bradley is the current director of Durham Recreation and Park District. You see a theme here, huh?
Yeah,
all parks and rec folks.
Yeah.
He's retired. He's from the healthcare industry, retired, has a bachelor's degree in business administration. He has experience as a member of the Durham Rotary Club, California Association of Health Facilities. He's director of Butte County Farm Bureau. Has been involved with Blue Diamond, Almond Cooperatives, Holling Cooperatives, some ag components there, North Valley Ag, etc. And then Bruce Riston is a current board director at Thermalito Water and Sewer District. I think that's a newly elected position. I don't think he's been there for a long time, from what I can tell. Maybe serving his first term. He's retired lieutenant, Butte County DA's office, has an AS degree in criminal justice. He is an instructor currently down at Downrange in Chico, does some private investigation work, has served pretty much all in the kind of law enforcement area other than early years as a service manager. So it looks like he's kind of trying to transition from law enforcement stuff into public sector with Thermalito Water and Sewer, and now seeking alternate for LAFCO.
Did you say you know Bruce?
Yeah.
Did you give him a thumbs up?
I'd probably be really good, but I haven't, you know, I haven't been around him for years, you know.
Okay.
I remember in school.
Okay. I like the fact that he's from Orville area.
Yeah. He's a very nice fellow.
Director Edwards, are you suggesting Bruce?
Yes.
Director Moreland?
Bruce.
Director Wilbur?
I'll go Bruce also.
Director Hickman?
I'll go Bruce.
Director Starr?
I'll stick with the majority.
Stick with the majority, so that means Bruce Riston. Okay, so we're going to nominate Dave Donnan and Bruce Riston, and then if I could get your signature at the end of today's board meeting, I'd appreciate it.
We need a motion.
Oh, thank you.
I make a motion that we nominate Dave Donnan for LAFCO was the director, or LAFCO?
Can you just read the cover page?
Okay.
Plug in the name.
I move approval to vote for Dave.
Dave
Donovan for the special district regular non-enterprise member and
Bruce
Riston as an alternate enterprise, non-enterprise member as identified on the Butte Local Agency Formation Commission 2021 election ballot.
Okay.
May I have a second that?
No, I didn't have a thought.
What thought on the second on that one?
You got it. You heard.
Any public comment? Not here.
Nothing as of 3:03 p.m.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Five ayes.
Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
That's it. Art.
It's my turn to start changing things again.
Yeah.
So. It is, well, makes things even. The temporary building construction services is something that we have utilized in the past. A contractor can come in, get water for the building site without having to pay the system capacity fees up front. Mm-hmm. It's only available for 6 months, and if the house becomes livable or the end of 6 months, that water is terminated. The changes here, we were only charging $10 a month for this service. Since we do have to read the meter to keep track of the consumption, we're proposing to move this up to $19, which is standard for the rest of our meters. And since we do install a backflow device to prevent any water from their side to flowing back into the distribution system, we do have to test the backflow. So we were requesting that we include the backflow costs, monthly costs as well. So those are the majority of the changes in this policy.
What's the monthly backflow fee?
On a 3/4 inch, it's $5.42.
Okay. That's more than fair to have water on the construction site?
Yeah.
The only thing I can see it would be better at 6 months, maybe with 9 months, because you can't really build a house in 6 months. For times to matter. Or at the end of 6 months, you're going to go to regular what service fees?
They can change to a regular service fee, but the system capacity fee has to be paid. So.
And I know a lot of people leave that to the end of the construction of the house so they not have that cost up front.
Correct.
You're saying today's standard is difficult to complete in 6 months. Is that what you're saying, Director?
Yes. Star?
It's reasonable. Okay.
And at 6 months, you're probably 3/4 of the way through the house. Perfect.
So you'd like to make the change to 9 months?
It was just a suggestion.
I'm sorry, let me make sure I understand. So let's say a home was completed as a contractor, it's 6 months, it's sold. Then at that point, it wouldn't matter for the rules of reg, the title change, the new buyer would pay system capacity fees at the end. So there's really no downside to the agency.
It's basically changing from 6 months to up to 9 months, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the saving grace of that is that the contract doesn't have to come up with a hookup charge.
Yeah, the system capacity fee, that's right.
That's a sizable amount of money in our community.
Sure. Well, as GM, I'm not opposed to changing that from 6 to 9, but you as directors can talk about that.
That'd be hard.
I mean, if it truly takes more than 6 months to construct the house, so, you know, we're okay. We're trying to.
Right. I think it's. I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody have any issues with that?
I agree with John on that.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you.
Very good. Then I do need a motion and
modifications
to approve modifications as well.
So I'll make a motion on that. So I move adoption of proposed changes to the rules and regulations regarding the temporary building construction service and to increase the 6 month timeline to 9 months for the payment of system capacity fees. The deferment of payment to capacity fees.
Okay. Just for a second, or?
I'll second that.
Got a slight hand up. Okay. You want to check for the participation?
Sure.
Multitask in there.
I don't have anything as of 3:07 p.m.
Okay.
No comments here either.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Bye-bye. thank you. Thanks, Chris. Director's reports. John, you want to start us out?
I'm sure this year for fire hazard. We have much water in the lake, water, little grass, and I don't think little grass is going to fill this year. There's not much snow up there. One Saturday, one today. The cycle's changing. We're going to start getting less water and less snow every year.
Ben.
I'm concerned about what they're going to ask us to start rationing again. I heard rumors this morning in the construction deal that we're talking about relinquishing building permits where they don't have enough water in those areas.
Wow.
So pray for more rain and snow.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, thank you, John. John?
Nothing for this month.
Okay, Jim? Dennis?
Okay, a little bit. Everybody got one of these ACA reports?
Yep.
Our government's trying to pass infrastructure bill, and a lot of this is going to be water. We need to scream like mad cats to start these lake water storage areas. And Sunday I emailed the governor that we need help. We're out of water. This is the lowest I've ever seen Lake Oroville in my life. Now, I'm almost 70. 3 weeks ago, me and the wife went for a ride up Highway 70 to Caribou and to Belden. That is the lowest in my life I've ever seen the North Fork that feeds Lake Oroville. It is bad. And I don't know how we're going to get out of this other than we need more water storage. It's been 50 years since Oroville. And yet, more people are moving in, building more, more ag, more everything. But our United States and the state of California are not keeping up with the water demands. I was thinking maybe we could get all five of us to sign on to an email with Wraith and do the same thing that I did Sunday, email them for help. A few weeks ago, we had Doug Mamalfa come in here. Me and Wraith worked with him a lot, showed him everything about water in this district, and then some. And he was really good help. So I think if we start rattling some cages and get busy, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And with this infrastructure bill coming, we should be on it. We should be trying to get some of that money. There's a lot of things that could help this district, and money would be one of them. And water storage for the future is big. So anything we can do to make noise or get help, we got to do it. Other than that, this is the driest year, water-wise, I've ever seen in my life. We went out to Great Lines and put my neighbor in Ridley. He's disabled, trying to find a place to take this old guy catfishing. I've never seen Great Lodge in Ridley that dry. And the Feather River, the Sacramento River, all of them, wow. It's going to be a tough year. And anything that didn't burn last year will probably burn again this year. But our government needs to stand up and help. Anything we can do as a board, or individual people, call them. Everybody get busy and maybe we can get some help. Worth a try. That's all I got.
All right.
It's not good news.
It's not good news. Thank you.
Can we start retaining more water at Littlegrass Valley instead of letting so much out so early? So we start filling up quicker and faster?
Well, in a year like this, like on Dan Leon's report, you know, we're capturing all water. We're not spilling, right? So really, so the short answer on a dry year is until you're at capacity, right, what you want to avoid is spilling in your current storage areas. That's not the situation this year. If I may elaborate on Director Moreland, what we need to do is science behind where is water from snowpack and runoff that doesn't currently land in storage reservoirs and target those locations, right, for potential increased storage or conveyance. So it's not just try to put more in existing reservoirs because those are established. If the climate truly is changing, we've got fewer and fewer wet years or above average. Yeah. It's to capture that water that isn't currently captured.
Yeah, might be in the hot country.
So it's geographical.
A lot of these areas have never been controlled. And the Hot Cut Creek is one of them. That's what Arnold Schwarzenegger was hammering on years ago. More smaller water storage places spread around.
Right. Because see, we're capturing everything that is feeding the little grass right now.
Yeah, you are. And there's not much coming in.
Well, it comes in bursts, right? So yeah. What snowpack we had is being saved in the freezer, right? It's melting and going to the reservoir.
A bunch of rain in May.
And that's why July and August would be a real problem with the warm weather now. And low snowpack.
Okay. I don't have anything for director's report today. Okay, so it's 3:15. Any comments before we go into closed session?
Nothing in the email as of 3:13.
Nothing online.
So reminder, Art, I'm sorry, you don't have that text in there. Star 6 or star 9 to raise your hand. We have at least one phone number. Now's the time. All right.
Let's take a 2-minute break and go in, and we'll come back to the closed session.
Thank you.
Into open session. In closed session, direction was given to legal counsel and real property negotiators. I always forget to ask something here, don't I? Like, isn't there one more thing I do? We're actually done.
We're adjourned.
4:30. Meeting adjourned.